Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
This morning, we are going to love the word redemption because of who it comes from. We have redemption because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the resurrection." And because he is the resurrection, we have redemption. And I'm going to make it really easy. It's going to be a three-point message today. So when you hear point three, you can be like, she's almost done. But point number one, the power of redemption starts with repentance. The power of redemption starts with repentance. There's not a time I don't want to mention this part of our walk with the Lord, because it's where our walk with the Lord starts. It's where it begins. It's fundamental and crucial to our walk with the Lord. It's acknowledging that we need a Savior, that we need forgiveness. If I am unwilling to repent, then I am unwilling to be saved. If I don't repent, then I will perish. But if I can find it in myself to repent of my flesh, to repent of my sin, and turn to Christ, he will lead me to a way everlasting. He will lead me to eternal life. What did John the Baptist say to prepare the way of the Lord? He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I say that to you this morning. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus didn't come for the perfect. He came for the messed up. He came for the broken and the bruised. He came for the hurting and the lost. And to the people who don't think they need God, I would like to point out the very breath you breathe cries out the name of the Lord with every breath you take. You cannot deny that you are worshiping the Lord when you take a breath, because he created you and you were created with a purpose to worship. So the very breath you breathe, breathe the name of the Lord. Scientists have discovered that in our very DNA, that the Hebrew name of the Lord is written and intertwined within our DNA code. His name is written in our DNA code. The author and the finisher has signed his work. And maybe you're searching for God this morning and you've questioned his existence. This is your sign that Jesus is alive, that he is your hope, that he is the way, that he is the truth, and he is the life. God has seen you searching. God has seen you questioning. God has seen you seeking, and he has heard your cries. And this is your sign today to come to the Lord. Jesus didn't die to us because we were righteous. He died for us because he knew that we weren't righteous, and that the only way we could get righteous was through him. Mark 2:17 says, when Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call those who think not who they, excuse me. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." If you want to really grate my nerves, if you really want to be a person that I do not like, act holier than thou. Act better than everybody else. I can't stand it. The people who act better than everyone else are not better than everyone else. They need Jesus too. And a lot of time, church people look down their noses at other people, and we have to stop. Because we were once those people who weren't a people until God called us. That's where a lot of church hurt comes from. It's a Pharisee attitude. It comes from people acting like they never had a problem and never had any sin, and then judging everyone else without any sense of grace or love. There's something I pray you understand this morning. I have been hurt by church people. You have probably been hurt by church people. But let's remove the church out of it. We have all been hurt by people. So the church didn't hurt you. A person hurt you. People hurt you. God did not hurt you. I think we have to be careful with this too and understand that correction is not offense. We have to quit making excuses for our flesh. We have gotten so comfortable making excuses for our flesh that we can't even be corrected without offense. When you get corrected, you're like, oh, they're judging me. No, they're helping you. They're loving you. They're concerned for your eternal soul. Paul corrected many people in the New Testament, but he did it with the mindset of humility and empathy, because he acknowledged that he had sin that had to be forgiven too. He called himself the chief among sinners. He did it from a place of redemption. When Paul corrected others, he did it with the understanding that he at one point had to be corrected too. He did it with conviction and desire to lead others closer to Christ, not to push them away because they weren't good enough, but to draw them close to Christ because we all need a redeemer. I apologize if anybody has pushed you away and treated you like you weren't good enough to be in the house of the Lord. I tell you, if you come with a repentant heart and you are seeking redemption today, there is power and redemption, and the Lord can save you. He can free you. He can restore you. He can heal you. You have to be able and willing to be corrected by the Holy Spirit and people of God who the Lord has placed in your life. I have been corrected. Did it hurt? Yes. Did I like it? No. Did I receive it? Yes. If no one can tell you nothing, then how will you ever grow? How will you ever mature in your faith? The Bible says that we are supposed to sharpen one another. We're supposed to build one another up, challenge one another, provoke one another to good works. You can avoid hypocrisy by acknowledging you need Jesus too. Just avoid hypocrisy and acknowledge that we were all sinners in need of a Savior, that we all need His grace and mercy every day. I know I am a sinner who needs a Savior, and because He is my Savior, I am redeemed, I am free, I am restored, and I am made whole. What kind of Christian would I be if I didn't tell you that you needed to repent? What if I just told you you could stay the same? No, you can't stay the same when you're in the presence of Jesus, because Jesus changes everything. He changes everything. What kind of Christian would I be if I didn't tell you that He could redeem you of your sins? Jesus is our way out. He is our escape plan. He is our exit route. When I live in the power of redemption, I want others to live there too. I want to live in redemption, but I want you to live in redemption too. I don't want you to live from a broken place. I want you to live in a healed place. I want you to live in a restored place. I want you to live in a forgiven place. Because I know how good it feels to live in forgiveness. I know how good it is to live in peace that passes understanding and wholeness because of Christ. Amen. And the only way to get there is to repent and believe in Jesus Christ as the scripture has said, not as the world has made him to be, but who he really is. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Jesus has the power to take your sin and remove it as far as the east is from the west from your life. That's biblical. He can remove that part of you as far as the east is from the west. Repenting brings refreshing from the Lord. Amen. Number two, the power of redemption transforms your life. Isaiah 55:7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." I don't know if you ever watch Hallmark movies, but if you, the kings and queens, they pardon someone, you're pardoned. I have been abundantly pardoned by the Lord God Almighty, and I am thankful. When you come to Christ, you have been abundantly pardoned, and your life should show it. Matthew 3:8 states it best. It says, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." Another version says, "Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God." Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. I have spoken to prostitutes who God completely transformed their life. I've spoken to homosexuals who have told me how the Lord has freed them from that lifestyle as they walked with Him in faith. It's called the power of redemption. Christ redeems us. Walking with the Lord and having faith in Him redeems our walk, redeems our talk, and redeems our thoughts. If your daily life is consumed with the world, then so too will your thoughts and actions be like this world. But you have to consciously set yourself apart and seek the Lord in all you do. You have to, with a conscious mind, make an effort to seek the Lord. When you're working, when you're shopping, when you're taking kids from point A to point B and trying not to go insane, you have to consciously seek God in all that you do. He will guide you and teach you by His Spirit throughout your entire life. He will help you in your marriage. Anybody, God save their marriage, amen. He will help you raise your children, amen. He will keep your foot from slipping. He will be your refuge and your strength. The power of redemption transforms your life completely and fully. I'm glad I'm not who I was. I'm glad of the power of redemption. And it is by faith the power of redemption transforms us. Listen to this. To this day, we refer to the woman with the issue of blood by her issue. Right? If I'm going to share with you the miracle of the woman with the issue of blood touching the hem of His garment, I'm going to say the woman of issue with blood over and over again touched the hem of His garment and was healed. And we continuously refer to her by her issue. But I want you to see what Jesus called her. Jesus called her daughter. Jesus called her healed. Jesus called her whole. Luke 8:48, He says this, and He said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. I want you to notice the power of redemption in the Lord's words. Jesus immediately called her daughter because of her faith. She reached out. She had enough faith to know that if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I would be healed. I would be made whole. So He didn't refer to her by her issue. He immediately called her daughter. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace. There is peace in redemption. There is hope and comfort in redemption. Jesus immediately called her daughter and comforted her, healed her, and made her whole, and gave her peace to go on her way. They may still call you by your issue. The people out there, your family, your coworkers, the people who used to know you, they may still call you by your issue, but God calls you son. God calls you daughter, and He is comforting you, and He's giving you peace to go about your life and on your way. Don't forget the redemption God has walked you through. The Bible says, like a dog, they return to their vomit. Don't go back to your old ways. Don't turn back to who you used to be because everybody still sees you as who you used to be. Walk through the path of redemption that the Lord is taking you on. Don't forget the power of redemption. He is your comfort, and He has given you peace to walk in your redemption. Walk in your redemption. Amen? Number three. Okay, everybody say, praise the Lord. Remember, it's a three-point message. I'm on number three. The power of redemption isn't a place you visit, it's a place you live. The power of redemption isn't just a place you visit on Sunday mornings or come to on Wednesday nights or when you need Him. The place you come to, the power of redemption isn't just something you visit, it's a place you live. It's a place you stay. Galatians 2:20 through 21, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Redemption is a daily part of our lives. And we have to ask God to remove anything from our hearts and lives that isn't pleasing to Him. I'm going to read to you Psalm 139, 23 through 24. And I want you to realize that this prayer isn't projected outward to the circumstance. It's projected inward to our heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. This is a prayer we should pray every single day. Because none of us are immune to the hard places in our hearts. And we have to let God chip away at the parts of our hearts that have been hardened by this world, so He can make us like Him, so that we can continue to live in the power of redemption. Listen, I don't know what it is about being in my late 30s, but anxieties have tried to attack me constantly. And I think it's probably the way the world is, and I have a heavy heart for everything that's going on, but I refuse to walk in my anxiety. I refuse to walk in my doubt. I refuse to walk in my fear. I have to live from a place of redemption because that reminds me of God's power. We all must learn how to live from the place of redemption and not defeat. I want my kids to live from a place of victory, so I can't live from a place of defeat. I have to live from a place of redemption. When I was raising them, I couldn't let them see my defeats. I had to let them see my victories in Christ Jesus. Amen. I wanted them to see that God is good and He does only good. And that if He said it, He will do it. To hold on to the promises God has given you. I want to lead from a place of redemption. I want to serve from a place of redemption. Blessings run deeper than material things. Listen, I am blessed and I thank God for it. But the blessing, the true blessing, is redemption through Christ Jesus. That's where the true blessing is. I do not want to ever live from a place of defeat again. And God taught me and is still teaching me to this day. If we want to live in the power of redemption, we have to learn how to forgive. And I want us to focus on forgiveness because a lot of us have unforgiveness that is holding us back. Unforgiveness will keep you stuck in a place of defeat. Unforgiveness will keep you in a place of victim. But forgiveness through the power of Christ will take you from victim to victor. I don't want to play the victim card. I don't want to live in victim mentality. I want to become a victor through Christ. I want to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, not because of me, but because of Him, because of the power of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to share with you a testimony, and I'm not going to say this person's name, but some of you might know who they are. So I had a person who I thought loved my family, loved the church. I thought they called themselves a Christian, but they had malice in their heart, and they did something to hurt me and my family and the church, and I was livid. I was so mad at this person. How could a person who say they love me, how could a person who said that they were a Christian do this the way they did? How could I not have seen the malicious intent in their hearts? How could I have not known that they were going to do this? And I wish I could say I prayed some David prayers and I'm vengeance is the Lord, but I was spiteful. I was like, I hope they get what's coming to them. And I just couldn't let it go. I was so hurt. I think that was more than anything, more than angry, I was hurt that a person who said they loved me, a person who said they were a Christian, could do something to harm somebody in the body of Christ, could do something to harm a church. And it hurt me, and it ran deep. But God didn't let me live in unforgiveness. He led me to a way of forgiveness, because if He could forgive me, if perfect Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, could forgive me of my sins, I could forgive this person of what they did to me. And so I had to walk in forgiveness. I had to forgive this person, even though I was so mad, and I was so hurt, and I was so surprised. I had to let it go. I had to give it to God, because I can't change their heart, but God can. I can't change what they did, and I can't change the situation, but God can. You can't hold on to the pain and hurt and expect to heal. If I wanted to walk in bitterness, I would have just not forgiven them. But I hate walking in bitterness, so I had to forgive them. You have to give the pain and hurt to God. You can't hold on to the wrong they did against you and expect to have peace. You have to give the wrongs that they did and give them to God. If you want to be restored, if you want to heal, if you want to be able to move forward and live in the power of redemption, you have to forgive. There is no moving forward without forgiveness. There is no moving forward without forgiveness. And living in the power of redemption requires consistency. Too many Christians have become complacent and complicit rather than consistent and persistent. To truly follow Christ, we must have a daily walk with Him. I don't wake up every day just doing what I want to do. I wake up every day saying, Lord, what would you have me do? What do you need me to do? Lord, help me because I'm anxious. So I take everything to Him at the beginning of the day. And guess what I do at the end of the day? I leave it all in His hands. I leave it all in His hands. So I wake up thinking about Jesus. I go to bed thinking about Jesus. And everywhere in between, I'm thinking about Jesus. Because He's the only way that I can keep my sanity in this crazy world. To be led of the Spirit is going to take effort on your part. A lot of people just think it's going to happen. Well, you have to seek Him to find Him. You have to seek His strength continually. To be led by the Spirit, you're going to have to be willing to follow the Spirit. You have to be willing to dig in. And just like you would anything else to be knowledgeable, If you go to a new job, you're going to have to be trained, right? You're going to have to learn. In any field you want to be knowledgeable in, what do you have to do? You have to study. You have to study God's word and be a student of God's word to know his will. The Bible says his perfect will is found in his word. So if you say, I don't know the Lord's will, you're not reading your word. Because his perfect will is in his word. You have to study and be students of God's word. You have to practice. We have heard it said, practice what you preach. There's so many Christians who talk the talk, but when you look at their lives, that's all they are, is talk. And I can't depend on them because all they do is just talk. If you need anything, you let me know. I let them know I don't know. I'm not available. And that's just for me. What about for God? What have we promised to the Lord? If we promise him to devote our lives to him, then let's not be talk. Talk is cheap. Let's walk the walk. Talk the talk. Let's do what he has called us to do. Let's not just be hearers of the word only. Let's be doers of the word. Living in the power of redemption makes you realize you have to live with oil in your lamp. Living with oil in your lamp comes with consistency and persistence. You have to plan. You have to prepare. And you must persevere. There's a lot of doomsday preppers out there. But I wonder how many people are spiritually prepped with oil in their lamps and ready for whatever battle may come because they are full of faith and trust in the Lord. You can prep all you want, get all the water you want, all the ammunition you want. You can everything you want to prep. But make sure your spirit is prepped even more. Make sure your soul is ready for battle, even more so than your physical body. Amen? To live in the power of redemption, you must keep oil in your lamp. You can read the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. Here we see 5 virgins and 5 foolish virgins. The 5 wise not only brought their lamp, but they brought extra oil for their lamps to keep them burning. But the 5 foolish brought their lamps and only enough oil that was in them to burn for a time. If you study these lamps, they're called Herodian lamps, and they're just little lamps. So when I think of lamp, I think of a pioneer lamp, those big old pioneer Western lamps. But really, the Herodian lamps were just teeny tiny individual personal lamps that people took in biblical times. And the oil in them would only burn for 2 to 5 hours. And that makes me question the foolish. They only thought they were going to have to wait 2 to 5 hours. They brought no extra oil. So the wise knew that it might take some time, which meant they prepared to endure, to be consistent in their walk and their talk, watching and waiting for the Lord, no matter how long it took. But the 5 foolish only prepared for a few hours. Their crime was that they thought they had time. But they didn't prepare for the time of the Lord. They prepared only for the time they thought they needed. Never bet on time. Time is a thief. Never bet I have enough time. Never bet I have enough time to see them again, talk to them again, seek the Lord again. I have enough time to live how I want and then come to the Lord later in life. Now is the time. Never bet on time. Time is a thief. This morning, I encourage you to check the oil level in your soul and don't give up, but persevere. And in closing, I ask you these questions. Will you live in the power of redemption? Will you raise your children from a place of redemption? Will you serve from a place of redemption? Will you love from a place of redemption? Will you forgive from a place of redemption? Will you stand on your feet with me this morning? I am so thankful that I was able to share the power of redemption with you this morning. And I open up this altar that if this message spoke to you in any sort of way, would you come to this altar and allow me to pray with you this morning? Maybe you're at the first point today and you need to repent and you need to feel forgiveness from Almighty God and you need to be reassured of his love for you. Today is your day. Maybe you're at the second point and you're ready for God to truly transform your life. Maybe you're out there and you're saying, Lord, I don't want to be like I was. Transform my life. Transform my family. Transform my marriage. Lord, you have permission to transform everything. Will you come to this altar? and let God reshape your life into what he wants it to be. And maybe you're at the third point today, and you're saying the power of redemption is where I want to live. It's where I want to raise my children. It's where I want my marriage to be. It's where I want to go to work every day to know that I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Will you come to this altar and allow me to pray with you?